I'm Alan Combs. We'll have more on Obama, Obama's pastor, what Obama said tonight on Hannity and Combs, the whole issue of Jeremiah Wright, the links between John McCain and far-right evangelists who put down Islam, put down gays, put down Catholicism, and the politics of hate. But let me welcome back to our microphones Gerald Ost, a senior writer for the Good News magazine, longtime minister of the United Church of God. You were on this program last time. Do I call you Reverend Ost? How do
no.
you?
No, not Reverend.
You're not a Reverend.
No, I believe that's God's name. That's his title.
God, but you're a minister.
I am indeed.
All right, but not a Reverend?
No.
What's the difference?
God says in his word that he's reverend, and human beings should not be reverend.
Oh, so no human being can be reverend?
Not knowing human nature the way I do, I would say so, yeah.
We invited you on to talk about Easter, and we last had you on to talk about how Christ would never sanction Christmas the way we celebrate it in this country.
That's right.
But before we get to that,
yeah,
let me ask you about the controversy today. Have you been following this Barack Obama issue with his pastor Jeremiah Wright? And
yes,
the controversial things.
Uh-huh.
Should Barack Obama be held responsible for anything his pastor said?
Well, of course not.
But why? But he is, apparently. He went to the church for 20 years. He sat in the pews. Now they're playing all these tapes of Jeremiah Wright talking about black America versus white America,
yeah.
Saying God, you know, GD America, because of how the government has been anti-black. And the people say, well, if he went to this church for 20 years and he heard this stuff, how can he associate with this guy, and he shouldn't be president of the United States?
Well, he's going to be held to different criteria than you and I might. Especially I wouldn't be held on a public view like that. I think we're all held accountable for what we do and our conduct and so on. But I can't be responsible for anyone else but myself. Actually, God says in Ezekiel that we are not to be held accountable for someone else's shortcomings, that we
right.
are accountable for our
own.
But
if you go to a church where a pastor or a preacher is giving a particular kind of message, and that message is considered racist or bigoted to a great number of people,
yes.
does that not reflect upon the parishioner who is attending on a regular basis?
Well, of course.
It's a political problem for Barack Obama, is what I'm saying.
I would say it probably was. It is a political problem for him, sure, because you have guilt by association, in a sense.
And how do you fight that? I can't stand this idea of guilt by association. How do you fight that?
Well, I'm not going to be involved with the politics of it. So
yeah. I mean, it could go either way because McCain, look, if you're going to play that game with Obama, John McCain has been associated with people on the far right who've said hateful, bigoted things, and he's not disassociated himself from those people to the extent Obama has with his people. But the whole issue of guilt by association, look, you've got a controversial message.
I do indeed.
Should everybody who hears you speak or might even agree with you be held responsible for what you say?
I would be responsible for what I say, and they would be responsible if it were contrary to God's word, yes. If I said something contrary to God's word, and they took it up anyway just because I said it, then they would have to bear that responsibility. But primarily, as a minister of Jesus Christ, I would be responsible for espousing either the right or the wrong thing, and I would go for the right and not the wrong.
Let's talk about your message on Easter.
Yes.
And as you believe that God the Father and Jesus his Son have no interest in Easter and do not approve of it.
About 100% of that I do, yes.
So that's a pretty accurate reflection of your views. Please,
yes.
please explain.
Okay. Well, in this country and in many countries in modern society, but especially in this country, we pride ourselves as being rational thinking people, and we think we're up to date in all we do, including our religious practices. God, Jesus Christ, would not have kept Easter, and we should know this. We should understand this. We should look into our Bibles and find out if this is true. They wouldn't keep Easter because it is not Christian. According to the Bible, it is not Christian. It has a pagan foundation. The Catholic Encyclopedia will tell you this if anyone's willing to research it.
Yeah. And
they accept the ancient pagan Easter festivals between the end of the 2nd century, about 180 or so A.D., to about 325 when the Council of Nicaea came about, and Constantine then told everyone that they needed to keep Easter now instead of anything Jewish on a particular Sunday.
Now, do you believe that Jesus rose from the dead on Easter?
No, I do not believe that. I believe that he rose from the dead on the weekly Sabbath during the days of unleavened bread.
So, as you point out in a piece I read that you wrote in Good News Magazine,
yes, sir.
The chronology doesn't work out between Good Friday and Easter Sunday.
Oh, it can't. At best, it's a day and fractions of two others. You do not have 3 days. Jesus Christ said to his disciples that the only sign he was going to give them would be the sign of Jonah. And Jonah, in his prophecy, or in the prophecy that God gave through Jonah, he was swallowed by a great fish for 3 days and three nights, and then spit out on the beach. And that's precisely what Jesus Christ used as the absolutely only sign that would identify him as our Savior. And he was resurrected on the evening of the Sabbath.
Should Christians celebrate when Jesus was resurrected?
No, the Scripture does not say that. We can acknowledge it, but it does not say that. It does say we should celebrate the Passover, which is the death of Jesus Christ.
Right. And Passover, the Seder is something that is celebrated by Jews, but not by Christians.
Oh, no, we certainly do it. We do it on the 14th of Nisan, God's calendar, which during the week that Jesus was crucified, his passion happened to be on a Tuesday evening. And so he then took the symbols of the bread and the wine, which, of course, exemplified his body, broken body, but not bones, and his shed blood, the bread and the wine. And then the next day, he was actually crucified on the afternoon of the 14th, and then he was laid in the tomb at the evening time, right before the annual Sabbath. A lot of people miss this, Alan. They miss that there were two Sabbaths. The annual Sabbath, which is the beginning of what we call the Feast of Unleavened Bread.
Yeah.
That's the first holy day, and that was Wednesday night through Thursday evening. Then you've got Thursday evening to Friday evening, which is a work night and day, and then you've got the weekly Sabbath. Matthew 28 in the Fenton translation makes that clear.
Gerald Ost is our guest. You have a piece in GN Magazine, Would Jesus Christ Celebrate Easter?
Mm-hmm.
And that's Good News Magazine for which you write. And do you have a congregation as well?
I do not. I do not pastor a congregation. I do speak in a few congregations, yes.
The Ambassador Bible Center in Cincinnati is where you teach, correct?
I have taught there. The last year I have not taught, but previous years I have.
You talk about, I want to pick up on this idea that Jesus, Easter, you can trace back to pagan rituals. And you talk about the 40 days abstinence of Lent, directly borrowed from worshippers of the Babylonian goddess, so that Lent itself is a pagan ritual.
I believe that it has pagan roots, yes. That the ancient mythological goddess Astarte in Babylon, in the Chaldean language, Ishtar in the Assyrian language, Easter in the English language, it's also different variations in the German and Scandinavian areas, that she was an ancient mythological goddess that the pagans, the people that were not Christians, looked to, and that's where it all started. It started a couple of thousand years before
right.
Jesus
So what,
Christ.
What should Christians be doing on Easter?
Not keeping it.
So
they should keep the Feast of Unleavened Bread. And the reason I say that, if you allow this, Alan,
sure.
is that Passover and Unleavened Bread have great meaning for us.
Right.
God reveals his plan to save humankind, and that's everyone. That's blacks, whites, reds, yellows, makes no difference. Everyone is included. That his plan is to save absolutely everyone. And he begins it with the death of Jesus Christ to wash our sins away. And he is our atonement. He made us at one with God. He reconciled us to God the Father. And he justified us by the shedding of his blood. Then the Feast of Unleavened Bread steps up, the very next step, 7 days of it, two holy days, one beginning the first day and the seventh day.
Yeah.
And that Feast of Unleavened Bread, and I'm probably not teaching you a lot here myself,
well,
but anyway, that talks about and shows the divine immortality, the great holiness of Jesus Christ.
I'm sorry to interrupt you, sir. What about Good Friday and Holy Thursday and all those other days?
They're all variations that played on the truth. And human beings changed or adapted and took things from ancient times and applied them. Parishioners in those days that began to be Christianized, if I can use that term, the clerics could not keep them from doing that, so they attributed the name of Christ and some of the basic elements of what Christ did. As we know it, the Passover and the Feast of Unleavened Bread, the wave sheaf offering during this Feast of Unleavened Bread has to do with the resurrection, literally. That is the time when he was resurrected, and that's what the Old Testament wave sheaf offering is all about, and that fits with Matthew 28 for the Christians who want to look that up.
We're going to take a quick break with Gerald Austin. We get back, we'll open up our phones, but also talk to you about this idea of Easter bunnies and colored eggs and chocolate rabbits. We'll come right back at 877-4. I'll give you a chance to speak with Gerald Aust, 877-367-2526. I'm Alan Combs. Lines are open for Gerald Aust. Gerald Aust talking to us about his view. He writes for Good News Magazine. He has taught at the Ambassador Bible Center since he... I've been a public speaker for 44 years, you're doing a book on public speaking as well, sir, is that?
Yes, I am. It's in the process of being edited right now.
You have a bachelor's in theology and public speaking.
Yes.
You know, how widespread do you think your views are? Are you kind of a unique in your view in terms of Christians not celebrating Christmas or Easter? Because let's face it, you're bucking what society in this country really does. It's so much part of our culture.
You are so right. Now, that's a good point. You said it's part of our culture. There was a book that was written not too long ago. Well, I guess it goes back to about 92, and it was written by a Alan Wolf. He's a sociologist.
Yeah.
The Transformation of American Religion, How We Actually Live Our Faith. And he goes through here and he shows that... in every aspect of religious life, American faith has met American culture, and American culture has triumphed. So actually, our religion, in my estimation, has become like our culture. We just accepted it normally, no demands being made, and this type of thing. Could I mention something about, before we go any further?
Sure.
I'm not going to be able to answer all of the questions, but we have a very good website set up for all of this thing on Easter. It's called gnmagazine.org. It's Good News Magazine, but
right.
gnmagazine.org.
Right.
I appreciate if I could get that out there.
Sure, no problem. It's out there.
Everybody.
It's out there. Let's go to our phone for Gerald Aust, 877-4-ALAN, Scott in Greensboro, North Carolina. Hello, Scott.
Good evening, gentlemen.
Go ahead, sir.
Actually, Mr. Aust is very correct. Many of the Christian religions take the ancient religions to adapt the ancient peoples into the new beliefs.
Well, a lot of people think, and let me just interject here for a second, that Jesus is a myth based on earlier myths.
Well, that's a problem.
there are people who believe that.
Yeah,
that's true.
I believe that. It is very hard to prove his actual existence and that he isn't actually a construct of the Old Testament. But the point being, and more towards the conversation at hand, is many of the Christian beliefs were taken and adapted from the ancient beliefs to get the people to adopt the new religions. If you go into the churches in the United Kingdom, many of the cathedrals were built on sacred spots and used the craftsmen from the old beliefs to build them. And they actually built their symbolism in the churches.
All right. Thank you very much, sir. Appreciate it. 877-367-2526. Do you go to a church that agrees with this, or are you not a member of a congregation yourself?
Yes, I am. Every single one of our members, I'm discussing here.
Members of what now?
The United Church of God.
Okay.
But there are other groups who also believe this. Probably, I don't know how many. That might be up to 40 and 50,000, just as a minimum.
Where does the idea of bunnies and colored eggs come from?
Well, the bunnies came a little bit later, so I'll treat that in a moment. The eggs came much earlier, and it had to do in ancient mythology I think it goes all the way back to the flood and Noah's Ark, and where life came out after, terrible
right.
destruction, wide destruction. But later on, they began to adapt in Christian times, say again, in about the late 2nd century and the 3rd and the beginning of the 4th century and so on, even up to the 5th century, that an egg has something to do with the tomb, Jesus Christ being in the tomb, and then he broke out of it, as it were, and had new life. That's where the egg has been the meaning of the egg for the most part. And it goes way back to ancient times. It's not a new construct at all.
Let's go to John in Indianapolis. Hello, John.
Too bad that religion boys everything. And, Alan, I love you carrying Hillary Clinton's water, bemoaning poor Barack's minister and his words you won't let off of it. This man should get his act together and do something that's important and deal in reality.
Which man are you talking about? We have a guest talking about the Easter. What are you talking about?
I'm talking about God is not great. Religion poisons everything. And it's just a waste of time. People should get into reality.
You want to respond, Mr. Austin?
Well, I know that he's sincere, and I know that he believes it, and I appreciate standing for something. I would disagree. To me, what I understand about the scriptures, the world that we live in today, and the type of Christianity and religion, and that includes all religions, do not square with what Jesus Christ has to say. And so we're actually working within the box. We can be angry about it. I used to belong to a very large denomination that kept Sunday, that kept Easter, that kept Christmas. And a person become angry about what he sees. But when you understand the truth of God, which really gets outside the box, and your mind to understand it, you begin to look at it, you begin to research it, and you begin to find out that there's something quite different from what modern
than what Jesus intended. Thank you, sir. Do you keep Sunday as a Sabbath?
Do I?
Yeah.
No. I keep Saturday Sabbath.
Was that what Jesus intended?
Precisely. The one he did, and he taught and sanctioned, sanctified, instituted, the one he taught his apostles, the one the apostles
So all
did.
The Christians who celebrate on Sunday are wrong?
The day is wrong, and they would be wrong if kept, but someday they'll discover that that's not the right day.
When you say someday they'll discover, you believe that eventually it'll come to light your views on Easter, on Christmas, on Sunday,
and that returns.
When Christ returns. When do you think that's going to be?
I can't set dates. There are certain signs that we can look to, but whenever Christ comes, we know, or I know beyond a doubt, those that believe as I do, that he will set things all correct, and there will not
be...
Human beings will not be in charge.
Is he going to punish those who celebrate Christmas, celebrate Easter, and celebrate on Sunday?
He's got to open their minds to what is true about it.
But will there be...
Punish what? If you mean in the sense of... How do you mean punish, Alan?
I don't know. In whatever way, he would extract retribution for those who are not honoring him properly, if that's what's going on.
No, he would teach them. See, here's what people don't understand. We get into God's holy days. When you come to the fall... Holy days, you have trumpets, which has to do with the return of Christ and the removal of human tyrants and the resurrection of the saints. And then the next one is atonement, where he removes a demon who are very much alive but not well here on this earth. And once he removes then all of that, then he has peace, and it's much easier to teach people the truth.
All right, Mr. Austin, I appreciate it. It's gnmagazine.org.
Gnmagazine.org, yes, sir.
And you can find more of his writings there, and round out some of the things we're talking about here tonight. I appreciate you coming on the program, sir.
Thank you very much, Alan.
Appreciate your time.